The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning! Warning!
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone.
Yes, yes, this is the Danger Zone, where we talk stocks and mutual funds and ETFs with David Trainer. He is the president of New Constructs. If you're not familiar with their research, well, you either haven't been listening to this show or you haven't been paying attention, but I promise you, after you hear David talk about why a stock is not worth investing in, you will have a pretty good reason to go check out newconstructs.com. I'd also like to point out on Twitter, it is at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be with you, Chuck.
David joins us right now on the Hightower Hotline. Hightower knows that most investors wonder how their interests stack up against the other priorities at traditional firms. Hightower sets its priorities differently, in line with investor interests. To learn how it works, go to HightowerAdvisors.com. Hightower is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All right, David, who is in the danger zone this week?
General Electric.
Danger, danger.
And why is GE, a company that is about as, you know, mainstream safe? I just had an investor, a listener to the show, who wrote me and he talked about how he's been in love with GE in spite of the fact, of course, for the last 5 years, it's been a loser because he gets nice steady dividends. What is driving you to say that GE is in the danger zone?
I call it quirky accounting or tricky accounting. One thing that most folks don't realize as much as they should is that income statements are really not reliable. There can be large amounts of hidden gains and losses buried in seemingly harmless line items like cost of goods sold or depreciation or SG&A. And the only way to get to what the real cost of goods sold number or the real depreciation number is to go through footnotes, and often not even in the footnotes, but the management discussion and analysis section of a filing. And, for example, for filings 300 pages, the footnotes in the management discussion analysis are probably 296 of those pages.
Yeah, they're the 296 pages that nobody reads, except for you.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and GE is a pioneer in this practice. You know, they've historically had some of the longest, most difficult 10-Ks filings to read, and I don't think it's unfair to say that they do it on purpose. That a lot of corporate America purposely makes the annual reports so long that people just give up on it. It's an impossible task. You know, it's a 400 or 500 page filing. It's hard to read a 400 or 500 page novel, much less a 400 or 500 page annual report.
So when you dig through, what are you finding in those numbers, in those footnotes on GE that makes you say, you know, this is not quite what it seems?
Well, to put a fine point on it, I'm seeing $4.7 billion of non-recurring or unusual income buried in their operating expenses. So their operating expenses are higher by $4.7 billion. That comes out to about 35.5% of their net income in the last fiscal year.
And let's translate that out. When you see this, if we were doing not generally accepted accounting principles, but New Constructs accepted accounting principles, what does this do to the whole earnings picture?
It makes the earnings a lot lower. You know, so for example, when I'm looking at GE, I'm seeing a very different picture than what most people see. One of the things that jumped out at me when I first was looking at their model is that, you know, their their economic earnings compared to their accounting earnings are much, much lower. So, for example, they're showing $13 billion in accounting earnings. I'm showing negative $6.8 billion in economic earnings. And a lot of that's because we're pulling out these non-recurring income items. And some of them are small. You know, some of them are small as $9 million or $16 million, little items that are just that add up. One of them related to the purchase and sale of certain business interests is $3.8 billion. It's a bigger one.
Yeah.
But the point is, a lot of times, and I see this with professional investors as well, you know, they want to believe that they can trust the data providers, whether it's a CompuStat or a Capital IQ, and just believe that these numbers from the income statement are good. And it's that belief that leads people to overlook these items that are really impactful.
Well, and let's talk about what that impact could be, because obviously if the earnings are misleading, you've got a situation where the stock is overpriced. So what do you expect to happen to the stock from here?
I mean, I feel like, you know, I also want, you know, as you know, I like to talk about valuation, and the valuation implies something like 10% compounded annual profit growth for the next 15 years. So, you know, GE to me sort of has always been a little bit of a misleading stock. Jack Welch famously wrote, most people didn't pay attention to this, that he had a little division called acquisitions or mergers and acquisitions that always allowed him to beat that earnings number by a penny. And he did that by doing a bunch of transactions on the side that really weren't core to the business. So to me, GE's never really been that good. And the truth is, I think the stock has trouble being anything over $15 and deserving it.
Wow. So we are talking about taking a significant haircut. The fact is, however, it doesn't have to take that haircut if people don't recognize it, does it? Or is it inevitable that it gets to that level?
I think it's not necessarily inevitable, right? They could get away with kind of juicing the numbers one year as long as they can make it real in the next year. But they can't do it forever.
Well,
cash flows just won't be there.
It is General Electric, and of course, you heard David Trainer say he can't really support a value of more than 15 a share. Well, it's currently trading at about 20 and a half. So that's talking about at least a 25% haircut. And that would put General Electric, ticker symbol GE, squarely in the danger zone. For more information on all things New Constructs, it is newconstructs.com. And of course, on Twitter, @NewConstructs. David Trainer, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you very much, Chuck. I enjoyed it.
Up next, it is the Money Life Market Call with Tom McIntyre from McIntyre, Friedman & Flynn, one of our favorite folks to talk stocks with. Stick around. Money Life will be right back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.